ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Charles, good morning.
Morning, Sally.
There's been more reaction to Foreign Minister Penny Wong's call for discussion of Palestinian statehood and a pathway to peace. Is the reaction surprising?
The amount of hostility in the reaction, I think, is surprising. Now, Susan Lee coming out and saying effectively that the Foreign Minister's statements had in some way emboldened the terrorists yesterday is a real rift between the major parties on foreign policy. And it's not something that we have seen a lot of, and not in the last 18 months of the Albanese government, not a lot in the last 18 years or beyond that. Usually the two major parties are lockstep when it comes to foreign policy, and that presents a united front for Australia to the world. Now, the Prime Minister has said there has been no major change or no change to exactly what Australia's policy is, but there is clear this is a suggestion being floated publicly by the Foreign Minister that promoting or an early prompt of recognising a Palestinian state would help the peace process. Clearly, no side wants to do any form of deal with Hamas. That's an important point, a crucial point, particularly at a time when there are still innocent Israeli hostages that are being held by Hamas, who we still recognise as a terrorist organisation. So the logistics and the reality of being able to organise a recognition of the Palestinian Authority without recognising the power of Hamas within Palestinian borders is the difficult part. And as you've just heard with your last interview, but as we've heard from sort of like-minded groups around the world, any recognition of Palestine really has to come with some blessings of Israel itself. Otherwise, the whole thing falls apart before it starts. So it will be interesting where this develops. Spain, France, the UK are all sort of promoting the idea that there could be some development on this, particularly through the United Nations. The US remains the big veto there. We wait and see. It is a difficult task, and it is trying to corral and trying to nudge a partner in Israel and a democracy in Israel in a region where both are scarce for the West.
Charles, Australia's advanced manufacturing goals, we've had the Prime Minister, he's set to announce what will amount to Australia's response to the $1 trillion Inflation Reduction Act in the US, that is using taxpayer funds to invest in advanced manufacturing and clean energy projects. We're expecting that announcement from the Prime Minister. Just by the by, we've done a ring around this morning talking to some people in manufacturing and those industries and economists. A lot of them don't know anything about this as yet. What do we know?
Well, they'll be promoting something called the Future Made in Australia Act. I've read the Prime Minister's speech, and it is a shift, but it is a long-term strategy of overarching, almost a sort of umbrella term for these policies that aim to promote Australian manufacturing, promote Australian independence when it comes to things that previously we would have relied on globalisation to fix. We would have imported and played our part in what is a global structure. What the Prime Minister will say today is that the rest of the world is pivoting. And you look at the disruptions that we've faced in the last 4 years or 5 years alone, go through COVID, war in Ukraine, war in the Middle East, the breakdown of supply chains, the Red Sea, something as simple as, you know, the ship that got stuck in the Suez Canal, and the huge impact that had on everything else. The rest of the world seems to be pivoting to, if not a protectionism, then certainly a more self-reliance, particularly as security becomes more uncertainty and you know, with that, the fuel supply. So that's what the Prime Minister is speaking. He says it's not protectionism. The big question is, how does nationalism or patriotism or independence stack up against competition and consumerism? How can our nation of 27 million people compete with some of the bigger nations around the world? We have benefits, particularly when it comes to the amount of wind and sun we get on our continent. We are a secure nation. We have stability. Population is healthy and educated. That puts us at an advantage, but we also have some things we're playing behind. You know, in terms of pure output, wages are high. geographically, we're somewhat isolated, although the world is moving to us, which is a good thing. So now you're going to have a government that has to, in the Prime Minister's words today, sharpen its elbows when it comes to competition, and a government that will have to start picking winners when it comes to industry. And we've seen that a little bit already. The hydrogen head start, I think we're naming the program, is $1 billion in last year's budget. The announcement in the Hunter Valley of the solar sun shop, which is creating solar panels here to take advantage of some of that sun that we get. And then the natural resources that we look to, lithium, nickel, copper, cobalt. Will there be more money for nickel as we compete on a global scale there? Some kind of way of propping up Australian industry, being led by industry, but getting the support of government to compete with the big players around the world, and they are big players.
Charles Croucher, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Charles Croucher there, political editor for Nine News.
Listen to more great stories that take you beyond the headlines. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.